Accession number 24198, Rule 10.
When would dinner time have been?
Approximately around 12 o'clock. You'd get a parcel, if when they had them in the camp, you'd get a Red Cross parcel a week, which was very good. It had butter, jam, milk, chocolate in those parcels. They kept you alive. Without them, we would have been buggered. But, you can't live on just boiled rice and dry bread.
In relation to your situation at Tutorano, the situation of work you mentioned, were you in a position where you were ordered to work at Tutorano?
We were ordered to work. We went from Tutorano. My first working party was a batch of 25 Kiwis and Australians. We went to a place called Squinzana, some distance away from Bari. We worked in I'd call it a distillery. They had crushing grapes, and they were using the juice, as far as we knew, for making fuel for the transport. The women used to keep walking all day long around this pit, cement pit, and the grapes would be tumbled in there with truckloads, and they would be barefooted and walking around them, and the juice would come out the bottom. And our job was to, under supervision, was to cart the skins of the grapes and the pips and everything that the machine threw out after getting the juice extracted. We'd carry them out and make a mountain in the yard, and they'd have trucks carting that away. I suppose they used that on their farmyards for compost or something, I don't know. But we could never get any of the juice, grape juice. It was all sidetracked.
I understand there were certain benefits to getting on working party. Can you describe them to us?
No, I don't think that I was ever on a working party that had any benefits. We only just got ordinary boiled rice and what you had in your Red Cross parcel.
Do you recall the idea that at least working would give you something to do?
Yes.
Stopped you thinking possibly too
yes,
much?
Yes, I think it done good that way. Long as it wasn't too hard. Our worst job, we had a job I was on once, a cement mixer. Oh, a huge one it was. There was a gang of about 8 of us to shovel the blue metal and everything in, and we just couldn't do it. We were getting too weak, 11 hours a day, building foundations for the new factory they were building. The foundation blocked, I suppose, we were tipping the concrete into, would be 20 foot square and about 14 foot deep, I suppose. And they built the factory on top of the concrete foundation.
Do you recall anyone attempting to escape at this point prior to September of 43 when the Italians capitulated? What examples of escape can you recall to us?
It was easy to escape, in my opinion. But once you did escape, it was harder to stay alive. You couldn't travel by day, you had to travel by night, and hide all day long in the daytime. If anyone spoke to you in the language and you didn't answer them, well, you were gone straight away because they were suspicious. But as I say, it was easy to escape, but it's like someone that's never been to Melbourne putting them off a plane and saying, well, get to the railway station. Where is it? Well, that's up to you to find it. Useless. You didn't know where you were going or anything.
Had you ever attempted to escape yourself?
Oh, yes. I was out for about 3 days one time. But
when would that have been? Roughly.
At this Squinzana place.
So this was while you were helping to cart the grape.
Yeah, yeah.
In relation to that situation, can you talk to us about that planned escape and what was involved?
Well, it wasn't planned. I just got over the fence and hid for the day and try to walk that night, but I soon woke up. It was useless. Too many soldiers on leave, I suppose, and public, I think. You couldn't show yourself because they could tell the difference between, well, they were white skinned, but I think they could see that you were a stranger in the district. And useless.
Have you been able to learn any Italian at all?
No, all I used to learn was just food, talk about pane, that's their bread. Aqua, water, just words like that. I never worried about learning either German or Italian. I learnt the figures 1 to 10, to count from 1 to 10, but that's about all. Never worried about it. I should have, it was a good time to. Could have been learning two languages, I suppose, but never thought I'd ever want to know German or Italian.
How long were you on the run for?
About a night and a day, I think.
Were you recaptured, or did you give
yourself? Yeah, I wouldn't have been a mile and a half away from the camp.
So, how were you treated on being recaptured?
Oh, just with laughter, I think. How silly I was trying to where you think you were going to, kind of thing. Might find the British forces. No British forces here. You're 1,000 miles from bloody Switzerland. That's your only freedom if you can get to Switzerland. Most of the chaps that did get to Switzerland were rescued. But we were more or less down south of, very much south of Switzerland, that was up north.
In relation to your treatment by the Italians, were you punished at all for escape?
I wasn't, but two or three were, and...
What do you recall of their experience?
Well, we didn't know at the time, or I didn't know at the time, but they had a good time in a way. The prison they put them in was next to a hospital, and the hospital patients that were on good tucker knew that there was prisoners in the jail, and there was only a wooden wall that separated them, and they used to pass bowls of food through to them. They were eating more food in jail than what they were out of jail. I reckon they should have been left there, they would have been quite happy.
In relation to scamming in prisoner of war camps in Italy, were you able to organise little groups of people that would barter or get food in, smuggle food in? On work parties, that sort of thing?
Oh, no, I think most of our bartering was done with stuff out of our food parcels and cigarettes.
What was the worth of a cigarette?
Well, for the worth.
What could you get with a cigarette? Or what would you trade for to get cigarettes, do you think?
Well, a tin of jam, or what I'd call would be about a half pound block of butter out of a British Red Cross parcel or a Canadian Red Cross parcel would be worth 3 loaves of white bread. Not bread like we have here, something like a small French loaf.
It was a baguette or something like that.
Yeah. You'd get 3 loaves of white bread where all you're getting the other way was eating their bread, which was made out of, as far as we knew, burnt beans to make the German bread. Just to burn the beans or something and make bread out of it. But food in Red Cross parcels with cigarettes, I suppose, cigarettes would get you. Tin of jam would be worth about 10 cigarettes if you were a smoker. I myself would rather have the tin of jam, but...
But you smoked as well, I understand.
Oh yes, I did smoke. But their cigarettes are different to what ours are.
Better?
No, we used to reckon they were made out of camel shit. They're terrible. But when you craved for a smoke, you had one, you might say to yourself, well, instead of smoking 3 cigarettes a day, I'm only going to smoke one. Terrible cigarettes.
Smoking, I understand, for soldiers is quite an important thing.
Ah, yes, it's the way to get in the front line. You get 50 cigarettes a week, free, when you're in the front line, not behind the lines. But you'd smoke all them. We used to think that all they do in the nerves were okay. Seemed to buck you up if you're feeling a bit nervous, or you were going out on patrol at night or something. Sit there and have a couple of cigarettes, it'd calm your nerves a bit.
Were you ordered to? I mean, were there any certain times that you were not allowed to smoke?
Never smoked on patrol, never even carried cigarettes on patrol. But in your own front line and Dover and that, you could smoke your head off if you like. I didn't worry about it.
In prisoner of war camps, then, what was the importance of the cigarette? And you talk of it being a good form of currency, but in relation to calming the nerves, was it used for?
Oh yes, it seemed to make you feel a bit better when you had a good cigarette. Whereas you'd Capstan cigarette. They were a good English brand.
People talk of them being, oh, the lonely man's friend, coal miners' fire, all that sort of thing. Was that the way you saw cigarettes in relation to the importance of them, or were just a lot of people addicted, would you say?
Oh, I'd say they were addicted to them. I was addicted to them. As a matter of fact, I never stopped smoking until 1986. I smoked a lot of cigarettes in the war. And,
had you been a smoker before the war?
Oh, yeah. I've smoked since I was about 15 years of age, I think.
In relation to the importance of bartering and that sort of thing in relation to the camp, other pastimes, how would you pass the time when you weren't out on work parties?
Just sitting around, inane talking, I suppose. If you felt like having a chat to someone, or if you didn't, you'd have 40 winks. If that didn't fix you, you'd go for a walk. Just didn't know what to do with yourself.
That's what I wanted to ask. In relation to being a prisoner of war, a lot of the time is combating boredom.
Boredom, yeah. Bad.
In what ways were you able to do that? I mean, you mentioned taking a walk, going for having a sleep. Sport and that sort of thing? Was that ever important?
No, we never had any sporting gear that I remember of.
People talk of things like concert parties. Any that you recall before the fall of Italy?
No.
Were there characters that stick out that you recall in relation to the situation of bucking up other chaps?
Now, in my opinion, if you looked at one bloke's face, well, you knew that the sad look he had in his eyes, that would be in your face too, with him looking at you kind of thing.
You mentioned some of the catching up with people in Tutorano. What other nationalities were there? Was it just all Australian?
I think there was Kiwis there. Well, there was Kiwis there because about a dozen of them were in our work party.
Any English at all?
Yeah, very few. Mostly corporals and sergeants. Not a great number, though.
To what degree did you keep separate from those other chaps?
Well, we got on well with the Kiwis. I think we just spoke to everyone kind of thing. It was so close quarters you couldn't get away from being friends with everyone kind of thing.
I wanted to ask you in relation to the way you were treated in Tutorano. In Udine, I understand that they had a commandant, Calcaterra.
Yeah, he was very ruthless.
What about in Tutorano?
He was about 6 foot four. He ran the jail. If there was no room in the jail, he ran a roster. He had enough prisoners to keep the jail going for another 5 years, I think. And when it was your turn to go to jail, when someone else was let out, he'd have the next bloke on the roster would have to go in and... Piccolo Pete, they called him.
Why Piccolo Pete?
Well, he had a gun on both hips. He had two revolvers, one on each hip. And, well, he looked like a bloody film star come cowboy kind of thing. But,
this was Calcaterra in Udine, I understand.
Yeah. PG-57.
In relation to his attitude, I understand he was a complete fascist.
Oh yeah.
But he had a note pinned to his door. Do you recall what that note was?
No, never.
As I understand, it was the English are cursed, but more cursed are those Italians that treat them well. Do you recall?
No, I have read about it, but I don't, never saw it. But it's just the thing that he would have.
The treatment in Tutorano, was that anything like the treatment that you would receive in Udine?
Oh, no, it was much better. Little Italian... I suppose he'd be equal to a major or something, was the ruler of the camp. He's only about 5 foot two and about 14 stone. Fat guts, too much macaroni, I think. But when he came into the camp, we'd all give him the wolf whistle. He'd just smile, he didn't know what it meant, I don't think.
So he'd be sort of going...
Yeah. He just smiled, and I suppose he'd naturally think it was everyone was admiring him, kind of thing, but that wasn't the point.
To what degree were the Italians seen as a joke?
Well, a joke there, as a matter of fact. They wanted to know if there was any Catholics in Tutorano just after we got there. And I was a Catholic, so I put my name down, and they said we could go to Mass on the Sunday. So there was about 25 of us lined up at the front gate to go to Mass, be about 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. And when we got to the where the Mass was, it was only about 400 or 500 yards away from the camp, in a bit of a compound. It amused us, they had a machine gun and a crew each end of the altar, three blokes on each gun, pointing straight at these 25 blokes here that were going to Mass. So the priest spoke English, and after the Mass he came over and thanked us for being at the Mass, being Christians. We said, well, that's the last bloody time you'll see us here. And he said, why? They said, well, if we can't come to Mass without having machine guns poked down our necks, you got another thing coming. Oh, he said, they're threatening, are they? Well, we more or less said, well, what are you doing with them? We're not attempting to escape. We'd be stupid to bloody start running with two machine guns there. We're not escaping. I said, I'll see if I can get that stopped. But whether he ever did, I don't know. But I never bothered to go to church anymore.
As the time drew near in relation to the war going Europe's way, particularly September of 43, when the Italians were to surrender. What had you been able to hear of the war going on outside up until that point? Do you recall?
No, I couldn't recall hearing much. We used to, we had the 7 o'clock news on the British wireless at night time. We used to more or less get what news we had off that. But it was useless talking to the Germans and trying to getting any information off that, because I think they were just all fed on their own wireless kind of thing, and only contradict the British wireless.
In relation to the coming of September, September 8th, what were your hopes, do you think, in relation to what that might mean for you as prisoners?
What date?
Sorry, September the 8th, the surrender of the Italians.
Okay. Yeah, well, we didn't think it was going to help us much, because the Germans just more or less took charge of everything.
In July, the Allies had invaded Sicily. Had you hoped that you might be able to escape to them?
we had, but the Germans had taken us to the other side of Italy and taken us up by rail to that PG-57 camp,
didn't they?